to quote the Musar Sefer of Chazal. Because you have a section of phrases that Chazal would say to focus in on particular areas of their Avodas Hashem. Everyone had their own special area. Now, there are more or less two sections. Really, there are three, but there are two sections to this Musar section. One is statements, phrases, little sections that Chazal, different members of Chazal would say after davening. Baser demesayim slosei. So Gemara says, what did Rabbi Elazar say when he finished davening? What did Rav say when he finished davening? Of course, the most famous one is, we'll see, Elokai Nitzar L'shoni Mira. It wasn't part of the original davening that Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were misaken, but it was, I think it was Rav's, and therefore it was entered into the tefillah. So that's on Tazayin Amad Beis and Yudzayin Amad Aleph. On Yudzayin Amad Aleph, we have not statements that Chazal issued after davening, but things they would say all day long. Margula Bepume, which literally means a pearl in their mouths, but we'll see why they use the word pearl and what does it mean in their mouths. But what's interesting is that people are different, and they have different aspects of their Avodas Hashem that they want to focus on, that they want to stress. Not as if everyone said the same thing. So sometimes we live in a world of homogenization, and the second that a gadol story comes out, everyone has to then apply that story to their own lives, and that's standard. People are different. People know that. That's some story this week, just to give you an example. Obviously, it's not where you're at in life right now. That a story that Rav Eliashiv, as I forget, one of his sons, and he's obviously a big Talmid Chacham, I don't know the exact name, and he hadn't seen his sister in like 11 years or 12 years, and they just, he happened to be in Bnei Brak for a wedding, and it was in all over the news, and there were films about it. So for someone like that who lives in that world, and you're completely, completely dedicated, they say about Rav Eliashiv, that Rav Eliashiv didn't know his grandchildren's names. That was the hesped they gave when he was nifter. Now in that world, that's perfectly appropriate. I don't mean that just that world. I mean that space where you're sitting and learning yomam v'layla, and there's nothing else in your head. They say about Rav Chaim Kanievsky, zechon lebracha, that when someone once gave him a big donation, big millions of dollars, and then the donor was on the way back to America to board the flight. On the way back, he wanted to stop off and say goodbye to Rav Chaim. So the shamash pulled him aside and said, I just want you to know, not to be insulted, he's not going to remember your name or who you are. Like, what do you mean? I just gave $10 million, whatever he gave, to his charities. He said, no, he's very careful to try to forget any information that's not Torah. He doesn't want his head to be occupied with anything but Talmud Torah, names, places, things, silly events, YouTube videos. So you didn't watch YouTube videos. He didn't want anything in his head. So for you and me to, oh, what's your name again? That would be insulting, because I don't have that level of commitment to Talmud Torah. But for other people, and I'm not at that stage, I'm working on other things in my life right now. When I get to the stage that I repair all the areas in my life, and that's the last milestone or the last exit, then I'll work on that if it's appropriate in my culture. But right now I'm working on my own area, and you're working on your area. So you have to know what part of your Avodas Hashem you're working on. And just because that gadol or this person chooses this chumra or this hider or this to say, so here you have that leaping forward at you where different mamari chazal, Rav said one thing, Abai said another thing, Abelazar said another thing. Okay, so we're going to start now in Daf Tezayin Amud Beis. What do different members of Chazal say after they davened? Now, after they daven is interesting, it's a tricky thing. First of all, Pi Halacha. Should you say Yehiyu L'Ratzon Emrefi V'Yon Lebi L'Fanecha before you say Elokai Nitzar and you add the Bakashos? Or only wait till afterwards? It's V'Chlokas Poskim. But they said in that space after davening, either after Yehiyu L'Ratzon Emrefi, or before you Yehiyu L'Ratzon Emrefi, before they finished davening. Now, part of the function, part of the purpose was they wanted to refresh davening. The Gemara says, the Mishnah Berakhos Yavos, the Gemara Brachas Daf Chav Ches, you shouldn't make your tefillah keva. And when you shouldn't make your tefillah keva, you shouldn't make it rote. Same thing every day. Now, a lot of people who aren't Orthodox, that's their major, major bone, one of their major, you know, in the early stages, one of the major frustrations with the rigidity of Orthodox liturgy, is that our Nusach HaTfila is so, so rigid. What do you mean, shouldn't it be spontaneous? Shouldn't it be emotional? Shouldn't it be personal? Bring up a guitar, sing a poem to Hashem, say something. The answer is that we're standing in front of the Malach Malachim Lachim. And when you're standing in front of the Malach Malachim Lachim, you don't freelance. You don't just say what you want. That's another Nadav mistake. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're careful, you protect the magnitude and the gravitas of the moment. And the way that you protect the magnitude of the gravitas of the moment is you don't say whatever's in your heart. When I'm talking to you, you say to me what I want. I say to you, we exchange pleasantries. It's an easy conversation. When you stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you fall back on protocol. use the phrases of David HaMelech, we use the phrases of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shir David Avdecha, and we're very careful. So the rigidity in tefillah, just like the rigidity in korbanos. Korbanos are very rigid. What difference does it make if there's blood in the north or blood in the south or four hazayas or two hazayas? Who cares? What difference makes it? Why can't you bring whatever animal you want? Bring a whale, bring a shark, bring a tiger. Show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how committed you are. The answer is we stick to the track because we're not standing in front of our friend or our brother. We're standing in front of the Malach, Malachim, Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on the other hand, if it becomes too formalized and too institutionalized, then it loses its spirit. So it's always a challenge in tefillah to make it personal while you're still maintaining the universal language that we're all saying. So this is their way of adding a little personal phrase at the end of their davening to make it more intimate, to make it more individualistic, their davening. Now the problem is, if they said it every day, then it becomes what I call the Tehillim effect. Okay, especially in shuls in America, where they're less sometimes attuned, just got back to America, they're less attuned sometimes to the specific comings and goings in Israel, but they know that in general, in Israel, we're always facing hardships, at least in their mind. So I sometimes, when I'm shul in America, we're not going to say two perkei Tehillim for Eretz Yisrael. They don't even announce this sometimes. Every day they say Lamatzech and Shira Malas. At a certain point, if you say Lamatzech and Shira Malas for 2 years, then it just becomes Aleinu. This becomes part of Shir Shalyom. Say the same two prakim every day. So ideally, they should rotate prakim. Problem is, no one really knows the prakim aside from Shira. Ideally, in an ideal world, if everyone were conversant in Tehillim, then we say, today we're saying, you know, I don't know, Lamed Aleph and Lamed Beis. Everyone knows Lamatzech and Shira Malas. The problem is that when you add something to your tefillah every single day, then it also becomes rote. So it wasn't, evidently there was something more to this strategy in Chazal than just personalizing their tefillah. Because if Rav Elazar said, we'll talk very briefly about what he said, every single day, then it just becomes part of tefillah. So before we start the Gemara, that just shows us the challenge of making tefillah personal. And sometimes if you want to make tefillah personal, I tell people, you know what, instead of saying 5 halalukas, say 3. And each week rotate the 3 you're saying. So you know that this week you're going to focus on this three, or if your Hebrew is not that great, focus on one. Obviously, you can't change the Berachas Kriyas Shema, but Pesukei Dezimra, Chazal, it's like, as we talked about in Shir, it's a conglomeration of Pesukei. We want to say the Berach in the beginning and the end, Baruch Shem and Yishtabach, but if you don't say Kitav Zamra, you say Kuflami, so, and you focus on a different parak, that's a good way to mix up your tefillah, or to skip Hodu one, I mean, and to, again, as long as it doesn't become this, you know, you ignore Hodu the rest of your life. You're skipping Hodu 1 week so that you can focus on Yichavot, so that's one set of second versus the other set of second. You're not skipping, Bracha, but you're certainly not skipping Brachas Kriyashma, Chas V'Shalom, or Kriyashma, or Shmon Esrei. So it's interesting to see how that this is one way to try to personalize tefillah. Again, if you say it every day, it's hard to maintain the personalization effect. It could also just be that they're not trying only to personalize tefillah, but this is something they wanted to think about after tefillah, try to set their head straight for the day. What did they want to focus on in their avodas Hashem? It wasn't just backwards to try to refresh tefillah, but it was just sometimes people said it all day long, and we'll see that section in Yitzayim and Alf, Margala Bapumi, they would say it from time to time. And some people felt that at the end of Shemon Esrei, that's a time of introspection, that would be a time to say, not because they were changing the Shemon Esrei, just because there was a time to think about whatever midos, whatever ideas they wanted to. So it's interesting that there are two different sections. Some people said it at the end of davening, some people would say it Margala Bapume throughout the course of their day. So let's just very briefly describe what Rebbe Elazar say. Rebbe Elazar, it's on Tessayin Amid Beis, Basar de Masayim Slose. After he finished davening, sound like he made Sheva Brachos. Here at Zambu Fanach Hashem Elokeinu, Shetashken Bipureinu, you should infuse into our world, into our faith, into our future. Pureinu is a strange word. Comes from which word? What does it sound like? Purim. Why was Purim called Purim? Hashem HaPur. He pulled Pur. Pur is a lottery. Lottery is a fate. So Pureinu is like our future, Rashi says. Goraleinu. So it's interesting that he used an interesting word, Bipureinu. He didn't say Bimakomeinu, Biveteinu, Bichayenu. He says Shetashken Bipureinu. That my future, my fate, should be full of Ava, V'Yachva, Shalom, V'Reyes. Sounds like Sheva Brachos. So Rebbe Elazar evidently was davening for social harmony, interpersonal harmony. He should get along with my peers. He wasn't talking about his wife. He was talking about his society, his friends, his community, the people he interacted with, the Talmidim, as we'll see in a second. So for Rebbe Elazar, it was social harmony, it was bliss, it was getting along with people. Right, we think that you're part of Chazal, your first question is going to be, I should be able to learn, and I should have your Shemayim. And the baseline is to be at peace with your surroundings, and not be someone who's polarizing, not be someone who causes tension and strife and divisions, and just someone who's a mensch, as we say, a mensch. People enjoy. I don't like talking about myself online, but I want something to share with you, things to make it personal, so I'll speak about. So, evidently, he davened for Ahava v'Achva, Shalom v'Reus, v'Tarbe b'Gvulenu b'Talmidim. And you should have a lot of Talmidim. V'Tarbe g'Vulenu b'Talmidim. You should have a lot of Talmidim. Evidently, there's some interplay between having a lot of Talmidim and having harmony. They're not always so easy. What I mean is as follows. Talmidim are people generally your age. Remember, in Europe, Talmidim were even younger. In Europe, the Talmidim were 14 and 15. In Slovakia, walking to Slovakia felt more like high school. Felt more like Ramaz. I don't really like Ramaz. But it felt more like a high school than it felt like a Beis Medrash, because it was younger people. It was all younger people. Now, younger people have a lot of zeal, have a lot of passion, a lot of energy. They don't have a lot of wisdom and balance. And therefore, they end up saying things that are very, very ideologically intense, one-sided, black and white, my way or the highway, this is the right way, we're right and you're wrong, the Tzionim are right, the Haredim are wrong, my Tzionim are right, my Rebbe's right, your Rebbe's wrong. I'm sure you're in that stage right now. And that type of ideological intensity can lead to a lot of frictions and tensions and arguments and debates. And just look, unfortunately today, I mean, it's just Rav Edelstein, Zichrono Livracha, was Nifter, so his son-in-law took over. And Baruch Hashem, it's a great moment for the Panovich Yeshiva, but you may not know the Panovich Yeshiva is split down the middle for years and years. There's literally two yeshivas. They don't talk to each other. They have to call the police in from time to time. They sometimes have physical violence. I'm not even going to tell you the names of the two groups because they're not nice-sounding names that they call each other. And it's a function of their zeal. I mean, obviously, this is not the way to behave, but the question is, do you care enough about Talmud Torah to actually fight over it with someone else? Let's say the yeshiva, in the yeshiva there'd be a breakout of two different ways to learn. And some people would want to learn this way and some people would learn that way. Would this yeshiva break apart over it? Now, of course, we wouldn't break apart over it because hopefully we're kind to each other, we're tolerant, we understand. But would we even get to the stage where we think about breaking apart? Okay, you want to learn that way, you learn that way, because sometimes zeal shows how deeply you care about something. People come to from America and they visit Israel and say, I was in Mea Shearim, and they were shouting at me, they were spitting at me there. I said, that's a compliment. What? How's that a compliment? Because if they didn't care about you, they'd ignore you. But you're part of their world, you're part of their country, we're one brotherhood, and every decision you make is going to affect our common fate because we have a common fate. Now, I'm not condoning the behavior. Of course not. People have to learn how to express their positions and their outrage in ways that are healthy and that are respectful of other human beings. I'm not condoning it. But sometimes when people get in your face and they say something mean about you, that actually shows that they care. It's not the Netflix culture where everyone comes home from work and let's see what's on Netflix tonight and let's close our doors and live and let live and what you do is your business and it's in your private world. That's not just respect for other people. That's, I don't care about other people. I'm apathetic to other people. We don't share a common fate. We're not on the common wavelength. What you do is not going to affect my life. So I think what Rabbi Lazar was discussing is, on the one hand, he wanted to have a lot of Talmidim. The other end, if you have a lot of Talmidim, younger Talmidim, you can have a lot of fights, you can have a lot of different positions, you can have a lot of kinah sofrim. So therefore, we started his bracha, and he ended his bracha, as you'll see in a moment, not his bracha, but his tefillah. There should be achva, v'shalom, v'reus, there should be harmony, people should accept one another, there should be a lot of Talmidim, and v'tekneinu b'chaver tov, v'yetzer tov b'yinecha. And everyone should be friendly and should be accepting of one another. So this is a short summary of his tefillah. Mirza Shem, we'll see some of the other tefillahs. I didn't cover every word that he said, but those are the major themes of Rabbi Lazar's tefillah that he added after davening. Basar, the Messiah, and Tzlose. Tzlose in Aramaic is davening. So Basar, the Messiah, and Tzlose, after he finished davening, this is what he said, and then we'll see what some of the other members of Chazal have to say. Okay? Good job, everyone.